Good day, everyone. Today on Music Moves, a second in a series. Ludwig Mincus, court composer to the Tsar.
Hello, this is Ramona Pansagra, music director for Kansas City Ballet, welcoming you to my weekly show about music and dance, Music Moves.
Welcome to Music Moves, a series of programs discussing a myriad of topics about my favorite subject, music and dance. My goal in this program is to introduce listeners to some of the most beautiful music you've never heard, to introduce you to music you didn't know, and to reintroduce you to old music friends, perhaps viewed in a different way. Hello, everyone. Before we start with today's topic, the music of Ludwig Mincus, I'd like to update you on a contest I'm holding. So far, no winners, but there's still time to try. The contest is a one-minute compilation of ballet scores in which there are 18 different ballets. All you need to do is write down those ballets and send them to my email address, ramona@kcballet.org, and the first five winners will receive a ballet CD recorded by me. So here goes. Once again, send your entry to ramona@kcballet.org and you might receive a ballet CD. On to the music of Ludwig Mincus. Unfortunately today, Mincus is much maligned. I have heard his music referred to as music composed by the yard. Nothing could be further from the truth, however. It was unfortunate for Mincus that he was a contemporary of Tchaikovsky, and comparisons were inevitable. However, it has to be noted that Mincus was a specialist ballet composer, and he can't be compared to the likes of Tchaikovsky or Stravinsky or anyone who came from a different genre. His music can be summarized as full of melody and rhythmic verve, much of which is charming and has immediate appeal. He possessed the gift of making even the clumsiest listener want to get up and dance. He loved waltzes, and I'm especially amused by all of his scores in which he had gypsies, rajas, Spanish bullfighters, and Indian temple maidens all dancing in a waltz rhythm. Mincus's claim to fame in Russia began when he composed the score for the new ballet Don Quixote. Cesare Pugni, who we talked about on a previous program, had been the current court composer, but due to his drinking and debauchery, he was unable to fulfill the commission, and it went to Mincus. And that is where Mincus became noticed and became second court composer to the Tsar. Giving some background on his life, Mincus was born in 1826 in Vienna. He was raised as a child prodigy violinist and also as a conductor. He immigrated to Paris in 1846, and his first work in ballet was assisting Edward Delvives in creating Paquita. I did not know that the early Paris version of Paquita contained some music by Minkus, so I thought I would play that for you now. Here is the Minkus interpolation into Paquita.
Thank you.
we just heard the Minkus interpolation into the ballet Paquita, performed by Boris Spassov and the Sofia Bulgaria Opera Orchestra. After Minkus's success, in the early 1850s, he traveled to Russia, where he would spend the rest of his composing life. His first position in St. Petersburg was directing Prince Yusupov's orchestra, where he continued to perform as a soloist. He then became conductor of the Bolshoi Orchestra in 1862, and in 1866 joined the Moscow Conservatory. His first great success was his score for Petipa's Don Quixote in 1869 at the Bolshoi, and in 1870 he was appointed court composer. During this time, Minkus continued playing violin, and for example, he was the second violin in the ensemble that premiered Tchaikovsky's String Quartet No. 1, which was written in 1871. During this time, Minkus also wrote the music for Petipa's Night and Day, which was a beautiful piece staged especially for celebrations held at the Imperial Bolshoi Theater for the coronation of Alexander III. The emperor, who loved ballet, bestowed upon Minkus the Order of St. Stanislaus for the score. And during the ceremony, the emperor told Minkus, "You have reached perfection as a ballet composer." One of those perfect ballets, Don Quixote, is still a favorite of mine today. The ballet Don Quixote, with choreography by Petipa, premiered to a resounding success on December 26, 1869. There was a new version staged 2 years later in St. Petersburg, and Minkus completely reworked the entire score. And it is that score from 1871 that became the classic that was handed down through generations. The plot of Don Quixote was based on Cervantes' novel from 1605 called The Adventures of Don Quixote. The ballet was an enormous success in both Moscow in 1869 and St. Petersburg, with the revision in 1871. The revised scenario and choreography was more sophisticated than the original version, and changes were made to the story. And there was a new fifth act in three scenes added. In the revision, Don Quixote no longer regarded Khitri simply as his protege, but now in an expanded act two mistakes her for Dulcinea, and she appears in his dream scene. It can be a little confusing to audiences to realize that in the ballet Don Quixote, the main characters are actually Khitri and Basilio, a couple of lovers in a village in Spain. I always find it a bit ironic that a Viennese composer in Russia is writing music for Spain. Be that as it may, Petipa's version of Don Quixote has had a very long life in the ballet world. It is probably one of the best known full lengths, and the bravura pas de deux is especially liked around the world. We're going to hear some excerpts now from the ballet Don Quixote.
Thank you.
We just heard excerpts from the full-length ballet Don Quixote with music by Ludwig Minkus. The collaboration of Petipas and Minkus, which began with Don Quixote, continued in a long and productive collaboration. They went on to produce La Camargo, Les Papillons, and probably the best known still preserved ballet, La Bayadere, in 1877. La Bayadere contains many of the leitmotifs and motives that were popular in 19th century full-length ballets. And one of those is a so-called white act. White acts began with the ballet Giselle, with the Willies in Act Two, all in white tutus. And they're even seen far later in the century in the ballet Swan Lake. The white act in La Bayadere is often excerpted as a standalone ballet called Kingdom of the Shades, and shades are spirits. In the ballet, the Prince Solor, who is devastated over the loss of his beloved Nikia, reunites with her amongst star-lit mountain peaks. The first entrance of the shades into Act Two of La Bayadere is probably one of the most beautiful moments in all of ballet history. Here then is Kingdom of the Shades.
Thank you.
We just heard Act Two of the ballet La Bayadere, performed by Boris Spassov and the Sofia Bulgaria Opera Orchestra. What a contrast with the music of Don Quixote. What a versatile composer Minkus was. We'd be remiss, though, if we missed that warhorse of a grand pas de deux from Don Quixote.
A warhorse, a staple of the repertoire that is widely familiar, may cause audiences to leap to their feet in excitement, applaud wildly, and generally jump for joy.
Thank you.
You've enjoyed our look at the music of Ludwig Mincus, second court composer to the Tsar. Stay tuned next week for more adventures in music and dance.
This is Ramona Panzagra, music director for Kansas City Ballet. Have a great week.